It's me. Ooh-wee. It's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along.
I know you gonna dig this.
Don't touch that dial.
George Hamilton, and you're listening to Nestorius Public Radio, where the elite meet at the dumpster.
Yeah, what's popping, y'all? It's Thursday night. You haven't done your laundry. You haven't gone to Trader Joe's or Whole Foods. Your rice milk and your almond milk has expired. You haven't brushed your teeth in 3 weeks, but your internet bill is paid, and you're listening live to the Nestorius Public Radio Show. I'm your host, Nestor Rodriguez, a.k.a. the N, the P, and the motherfucking R. Y'all, so welcome to the show. Just want to heads up. You can call us live, 800-893-9562. I always forget to mention that at the beginning of the show. 800-893-9562 if you're so inclined. Also, I just want to put this at the top of my show. I just got this from one of my friends' podcasts, and it's an ingenious idea. So I got temporarily, I'm going to get some NPR shirts, Nestorius Public Radio shirts, but for the moment, I have Nestorius Public Radio stickers, as you all know. So if you go to iTunes and you go to Nestorius Public Radio on the podcast and you go to the reviews section and you post a review of 3 stars or better, I'll send you 1, 2, 3, however many stickers you want. All you got to do is do that. Take a picture, a screen grab of that. Email it to me at NestoriusPublicRadio.com or post it on Facebook.com/NestoriusPublicRadio. All right? So that's just a little, you know. You know what I'm saying? That's just a little bit of like foam fam, you know what I mean? For the plim plam, you know what I'm saying? So, y'all, tonight, I'm excited. A couple weeks ago, I went on my man Sal Rodriguez's podcast. Sal and his mom, the podcast is called Sorry You Met My Mother, and it's live, I believe. Is it live? It's live on RadioTitans.com every Friday morning or afternoon from 1 to 2, I think, or 2 to 3.
2 to 3 p.m. Pacific.
2 to 3 p.m. PST. That's my man, Sal Rodriguez.
Hello.
And that's his mom, Sal's mom.
I'm hot.
She's yeah. hot, literally.
Yeah, you're hot. I told you you needed to come in here with a wife beater and shorts. It gets hot in here.
I like how you bribe people with a sticker. But they got to give you 3 stars. If somebody gives you 2 or 1 or leaves a bad review, they don't get anything.
Fuck them if they give me 2 stars. I could give myself 2 stars. I could go on iTunes and come up with a fictitious name like Electric Boogaloo and just put my own review. You know what I'm saying?
Why don't you? I would do that.
Because
I should do that.
Because I have a lot of listeners in various parts of the world. I have listeners in the Netherlands, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
I have,
oh, no.
Yeah.
You mean some handsome Dutchman has seen me looking like this?
Oh, yeah. Jaco. Yeah. Yo, big up to my man, Jaco. Yeah, big up to my man, Jaco. Jaco and a couple other cats in the Netherlands. I have some listeners in Korea, in India. You know what I mean? You put that number 3 star on my show. All right. We got some fans in Puerto Rico. You know what I mean? We have some fans in, I would say Cuba, but I'm not quite sure yet. But anyway, we got fans all over the place. You know what I mean? Some people get my stickers and they post them on like various landmarks in their cities, in their country.
Yeah.
And you got a fan here now.
Now you have a fan. You have an old school air conditioner. Ma's flipping an old school Asian influence paper, like flip out fan, mm-hmm. which, you know, that was back in the day. That's classic.
Well, my mother's very upset because she didn't know there would be cameras in here, and she wanted to be all dolled up.
She looks great. What are you talking about dolled up?
No, you've never seen me dolled up. You'd see the difference if
that's
you did.
That's fine. So you'll come back another time, and you'll show us. Don't worry about it.
Of course
that's a
promise.
Of course that's a promise.
My mom would doll herself up and knock 6 months off of her age.
That's fine. Dude, listen.
No, I knocked 6 years off.
You knock 20 young 35-year-olds off their ass is what you do. You knock them out. Anyway, so I was on your podcast a couple weeks ago. Let me make sure my phone is turned off because we're live, you know what I mean? And I don't want the phone ringing, ring, unless it's the 800-893-9562. But anyway, I mean, that's a good idea, though. I mean, my man, I got to give a big up to Mick Betancourt. I'm going to give a big up to him. Mick Betancourt. Mick Betancourt, man, you boom baclad pussy clad man. He's got a podcast that I'm going to be on tomorrow, Friday, which will post Monday, which, by the way, it's the 18th today. Tomorrow's the 19th. It'll post on the Mick Betancourt podcast.
Wait, you're going to be on his podcast tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Is it live?
It's not live.
Okay.
This is the beautiful thing about SkidRowStudios.com that our show's alive. So you could actually tune in live and listen to it and watch it live. You know, this is the thing we got here on Skid Row Studios. It's three steps above the rest.
Yeah,
you know
and I mean? Even though I'm old, I'm still alive.
You're still alive. That's what I'm saying. So it'll be Monday, September 22nd. I'll be on that episode will go up. And Mick, M-I-C-K, Betancourt, B-E-T. A-N-C-O-U-R-T. He's Irish and Puerto Rican from Chicago. Writer on Chicago PD, a new show that's been on the air for, I think, a season or two.
I've never heard of a person who's Puerto Rican and Irish.
There's Puerto Rican and Chinese. What are you talking about?
I've just never met a person. I've never met a Puerto Rican Irish person.
I'm not even going to try to do a Puerto Rican.
I mean, you hear about Irish people who are Irish and Mexican. I mean, our family's Irish and Mexican, but Irish and Puerto Rican.
Your family is Irish and Mexican?
Sure.
Your dad was Irish?
No. My siblings. My siblings have Irish fathers.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. My mother.
I decided to go for purebred Indian for him.
Yeah, right. My mother was boning Irish guys, and then she started boning Mexican guys. That's the story.
Okay.
Yeah, of the two, the Mexicans are the better lovers.
Big ups to Mexicans being good in the sack, man.
Yeah. Big up Mexican Chihuahua, yeah, you don't stop, man. Big up ese. Big up Chalupa. Big up you don't, motherfucker. Yeah. So Mexicans are better lovers. Puerto Ricans now, when it comes to the Latino culture, Puerto Ricans are on the top of the lovers upper echelon.
I've never heard that before tonight.
I've never tried one.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna keep it clean, just out of not clean, but out of respect. I don't want to get too crazy and shit.
I think it's only been in the last few years that you would see Puerto Ricans in Los Angeles. Growing up, I didn't know any Puerto Ricans.
But you saw,
I did.
You did.
When I was in junior high, her name was Hilda, and she tried to beat me up.
Of course. Yeah, Puerto Ricans are, you know, they think, first of all, Puerto Ricans think they're better than everybody else until the Cubans came into town. The Cubans, like, completely knocked the Puerto Ricans out the box. So Cubans think they're white.
I thought the Argentinians were the top of the food chain.
Maybe in South America, but not in North America. Maybe in South America.
Okay. So in North America, the Cubans are on the top, and then Puerto Ricans.
No. The Cubans, they think they're better than everybody else. They vote Republican. Yeah. They think they're white. In Miami, there's white, black, or other. You thought that, like, I got married in Miami, right? I thought that when I got married or voter registration, you'd have white, black, Hispanic, let's say, or other, right? No Hispanic, because everyone thinks in Miami that they're white because of their Spaniard blood and their influence. You know what I mean? So they come in here and they think they're white. You know, you know, Puerto Ricans. Put it this way, like you guys, like you Mexican guys, more so Cubans and Puerto Ricans. We have more. Well, you guys have more indigenous features within, you know, your characteristics, how you look, right? Wouldn't you say that, Ma? No?
No, it's all a bunch of nonsense what you're muttering.
Am I?
We're all Americans and we're all Caucasians.
Well, I'm not talking about Americans or Caucasians. I'm talking about features of different ethnicities. I know you're of the school.
The only difference between you and him and a white dude is your skin's a little darker and that's it.
Well, there's a lot more difference than that. But I'm not saying, yes, I'm an American. Absolutely, you're right. We discussed this last time. What I'm saying is that Puerto Ricans have indigenous features, some of us. Some of us have Afro. Afro, African features. Some of us have indigenous Afro and Spaniard features. Sure. More, you know, it depends. It depends on
who
came. That's
because they're half-breeds.
No, it depends on who came to our country and fucked us first. That's basically what it comes down to.
But would you say that, like any ethnic culture, whether it be East Indians, whether it be Mexicans, or whether it be Puerto Ricans, you have the lighter-complected individuals, and you have the darker-complected individuals, and the lighter-complected think that they're better than the darker-complected.
Well, of course, that's in any culture, especially when you come from a culture that's judged and has racism put upon them. You know what I mean?
Sure. I mean, when I've been to Mexico, I've been to TJ several times last year.
Right, right.
And I'm walking around the streets of Tijuana, Mexico. I'm looking at all the people, and I'm looking at the billboards. Uh-huh. And the people on the billboards don't like anything like the people walking the streets.
Of course. Well, it's the same thing.
That's because they know where the money is.
Well, no, it's white. White is associated with positive, and black is associated with negative.
Black magic.
Right. It's, you know, Black Friday.
And then the black tones are in between.
Black Friday, when all the minorities go out to Walmart and kill each other for 5-cent toothpaste. Anyway, but Puerto Ricans, here's the deal. The fact is, Puerto Ricans are the legal Latinos. We came into this country legally as a result of the United States.
Because you're a territory.
Well, a commonwealth. They deemed us a commonwealth of the United States so they wouldn't have to make us a state and then, you know, go through all sorts of legalities. They said, fuck all those spics. We'll just use their ports and, to safeguard us from Cuba and whatever other communist invasions may come. But anyway, we're not here to discuss ethnocentric features or who's better lovers or who's the top Latino in America. We're talking about, you know, Sal and Mom and the podcast that you guys do. You met my mother.
Yes, it is my understanding. Sorry you met my mother. Right. It's a take on How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, of course.
It's a take on that.
Of course.
And it is my understanding that our internet radio show, Sorry You Met My Mother, is the only mother and son internet radio show or even terrestrial radio show. I believe we are the only mother-son radio show.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I like your show. So if you ever get like the whooping cough or you're sick or something and you want somebody to fill in, you can like maybe have me fill in as Sorry You Met My Mother's Pal. You know what I mean? And then I could go in and me and your mom could do the show.
Nestor is Rodriguez, Sal Rodriguez.
Right.
It would just be
but
one Rodriguez
right.
filling
They're
in for another.
Right away, now he wants to take your place.
Yeah, Puerto Ricans are trying to take Mexicans' jobs.
Everything he said of Puerto Rican is.
I didn't say take his place. I said if he ever got like the whooping cough or he had to call in sick.
He's
or
too
whatever.
Old for the whooping cough.
He's too old for that.
But not Ebola. I might get Ebola, and then you might have to take my place. Yes.
You bet your boots. Well, I'll get Ebola with him sending healthy men over there. 3,000 military fellows.
I got my mother started on
that. So they can bring
that.
It all back here.
So one of the things I loved about being on your show is that your mom is feisty, like opinionated, and super intelligent.
Yes.
I mean, she's in, like, seriously intelligent woman.
Well, what I wanted to have my mom understand
and
is...
eloquent. And I love it. I love it all. First of all, I love
Flattery
opinionated people.
Flattery will get you everywhere.
I love opinionated people. And pretty. Very pretty. So...
You hear that, mother?
Yeah, very pretty, Mom.
He called you pretty.
Very pretty, Mom. Beautiful eyes.
In my old age, I got demoted from beautiful to pretty.
Okay, well, you're very beautiful. I thought pretty was better, but okay, you're beautiful. And you're absolutely beautiful. I mean, that goes without saying. Anyway, so you were saying.
Well, I was just saying that I gave my mother carte blanche, blank check to be whoever she is and say whatever she wants. In other words, all these years growing up with a personality like my mother for a mother, it was always about, you know, putting my hand on my forehead and going, oh, hope she doesn't say that. Oh, if she comes to the party, I hope she doesn't say that or do that. So finally I've said, Mom, this is your opportunity to be completely who you are.
What did and you not say at a nigga? Party.
Yeah.
You remember this, Ma?
What did you say, nigga?
You remember that from
That's Ann Esther.
Yeah, that's Ann Esther from Sanford and Son. Anyway, you're afraid that Mom's gonna come out and say some racist shit or some like backward ass. That's the beautiful thing about, you know, your mom. Seriously. Because your mom is very, very intelligent, right? But yet you have Mom, I'm gonna talk to her like as if she's actually in the room.
Sure.
Mom, you have these like really, really like old school and conservative ideas about certain things, but at the same time, I think you're open to different perspectives. You know what I mean?
She's soft on weed.
Oh, yeah? You smoke? You get high?
If it's given to me free, I don't pay for anything.
Big up for welfare dispensaries, man! Big up your bomba clad ass-sniffing, marijuana ganja-chewing motherfuckers!
Yeah. That was actually a point of contention. You know, we have a sister. My older sister, Lorene, passes around articles and videos that I would consider pretty conservative. And one of those was about people complaining that in some regions of the nation, probably Colorado or Washington, people can use their government assistance to buy weed.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Well, some people don't like that.
In my day, they didn't like me to even buy a cube of butter.
Well, let me give you an example. People who are on public assistance, for the most part, that make a career out of it. I'm not talking about people who actually need it to get out of public assistance was introduced to help someone out so that you can, you know, when times are rough and then you can go out. Some people have made that a career, right? The government, you know, you can qualify for public assistance if...
If you're a big corporation, they get the best and the biggest assistance.
Of course. That's another story altogether. I'm just talking about what Sal just said.
You can't make a career out of public assistance more than 18 years tops from the birth of the last baby. So that's not a lifetime.
Okay, well, that's a lifetime of
a baby.
Less
than 20 years in a person's
life.
Okay,
so what I'm saying is...
For a pension at a government job.
Let me get to the point of what I was trying to say, which is basically you're already fucking wasting your life anyway. You're on public assistance. What's the difference if you use your food coupon for marijuana? Smoke up, fucking burn the shit out of your brain cells. Do us all a favor, stay home, don't come out and fucking interact with the rest of us that are trying to go somewhere or trying to do something with our lives.
Be like the Netherlands and have it leave. Legal.
Well, it's
across the board all the way.
Well, it's happening. It's happening. Little by little.
You know what I want people on welfare? When I'm on the freeway and the freeway is crowded and congested, I think to myself, I wish half these people were home on welfare.
Yeah, me too.
That's what I want.
Because they're driving like they got nowhere to go. Yeah. They're fucking swerving like they're drunk. At least be drunk. Do something. Yeah. Justify your moronic moves. You know what I mean? In New York, you see more welfare. Like, I'll go to the supermarket in my neighborhood. I still have an apartment. And it's in the hood. It's in East Harlem in El Barrio.
Is that Spanish Harlem?
Spanish Harlem, East Harlem, same difference.
There is a rose in Spanish Harlem.
Anyway, so I go to the, you know, to the supermarket, local supermarket associated or C-Town or whatever, and I'm waiting online, and you see these old ladies, and you know they only got like $40 worth of food coupons, and they're buying, you know, first of all, the shit is overpriced in these places, because they don't care. The supermarket knows the government's paying for it, so fuck them.
Well, it's not a major supermarket where they're buying in bulk either.
It doesn't matter, dude. That's not the reason. The reason is fuck them. Yeah. You go to the pharmacy in the hood, the shit is more expensive. It's just the way it is.
That's because they're small little independent businesses, so they can't cut down on the, they don't get that great of a wholesale price.
I guess you might be right, but a lot of that is that most of the mentality of some of the people in those neighborhoods is they're not going to go out of their way to...
If you don't have a car.
Right.
You can walk so far in comfort.
That's what I'm saying. So I go there and sometimes I'm like, you know what, man? I just want to buy your groceries, man. Fucking put your food stamps away. Use them for marijuana for your kid. let me buy you fucking some Wonder Bread and some, you know, chicharrones and fuck it. While I'm at it, take a pack of Newports. I got you, Mom. Yeah. You know what I mean? I got you.
Nestor is very generous. He really is.
I got you, man. I just feel bad. I see like a big overweight Latin woman or a black woman. You know she lives in the project. Her sons are fucking around in the street. She's getting some stuff to go home and cook some whatever the fuck.
Some more fattening food.
Exactly. And I just want to say, you know what, Ma? Here, man. Buy 5 pounds of Carolina rice, man. Let me get your beans for you. I got your back, Ma. I love you, man. I got you. This is like amends for the way I treated my grandma. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Hook you up.
I would like to have government assistance. I would like to have food stamps. I'd love to get a welfare check. I would like to go
You're not a mom.
No, let me be clear. I want to still go out and earn money, but I want those too. I want food stamps on top of me going out and earning my living.
Yeah.
You know, in other words,
I want
subsidies. That's
right,
what
so
I
you
want.
So you want a tax refund every week alongside what you're working.
Pretty much.
Very simple. Work off the books and collect unemployment. Every once in a while, get a legit job. Mm-hmm. Work for 3 months. Punch the boss in the face. Let him fire you. And then you collect.
No, you don't get it if you're fired.
If you can prove that he sexually harassed you.
You used to in my day.
You don't get it if you get it if you're fired. You don't get it if you quit. Isn't that it?
No. If you're laid off, if you quit, you don't get it. If you're fired, you don't get it. Uh-huh. Only if you're laid off because of lack of employment. That's the only way you can get it. Unless, for instance, you can prove in arbitration that, you know, he sexually harassed you, so you hit him, and that's why he fired you. So, which is very easy. You're a very good looking guy, you just put your poster picture of you. You know, he touched your ass or something. It's very simple. They'll just say fuck it. Just pay for his unemployment. His unemployment insurance will go up like 0.1%. It's not a big deal. It's a write-off for the company.
That's how low my self-esteem is that I'm a heterosexual. My heterosexual friend says I'm good-looking, and I just spark right up.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa, really? Whoa.
Guys that had met you when we've done stand-up comedy go, oh, he's a good-looking guy. You have a very neutral, you know,
I have even features.
Features, yeah. Mm-hmm. I have very strong features, and if I open my mouth, it becomes more evident that I'm like, hoo-ah! You know what I mean? So my whole thing in life is try to tone down how I am and just try to be gentle.
I'd like more chin, though. I would like to have a chin implant.
That's very simple. You just go to 1-800-OCCIDENTE. You call the dude on the back of the bus. You tell him you got into an accident, win a lawsuit, go to the plastic surgeon, get a chin implant.
I want a John Travolta or a Kirk Douglas chin. That's what I'm looking for.
That's easy. Punch your boss in the face. Let him hit you. He'll break your chin. You'll have a little cleft in there and you're in. But anyway, sorry you met my mother. How did the podcast come about? I'm interested in your relationship with your mom, because you've always talked to me about your mom, and you seem to me like you spent not in a bad way. You make it an effort as a son. You're a good son. Like if I had a good relationship with my mom is in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
But if I would my mom lived here, I'd want to have the relationship that you have with your mom. That's what I would want to have as a son, as a male. So you're a good son. So I'm interested in how that podcast came up. You mentioned that there are no podcasts on the internet or terrestrial radio that actually have a mom and son.
I would welcome anyone to do research and find out if what I'm saying is true. I believe we are the only mother-son podcast.
It doesn't matter.
I mean, I don't want to believe that unless it's true.
It doesn't matter.
So believe
it. Okay. All you got to do is believe it it'll be.
I believe we are the only mother-son podcast in the universe.
That's right.
I second that.
That's good. Well, let me give a little bit of background.
Latino Chihuahua, born in the valley. La madre nació en el sur de México. Vino a los Estados Unidos y se casó con un irlandés. Después tenía tres hijos. Y después se marió con otro hombre que tenía indígenas features. Y
Rey Sal Mysterio.
Y Sal Rodriguez nació. Fridays at 2 p.m.
I love all that. If I could just live, that's one thing. The show is so, what's the word? You're such a wild man. That's one of the things I love about the show.
I love having fun. You do too.
But you like having more fun even than I do.
Yeah.
I think I'm a little more contained. But let me give a little bit of background. I started right here at Skid Row Studios.
Yes.
Skid Row Studios has a place in my heart because this is where I got my start in internet radio.
Right.
I used to host a show called Registered Ear Offenders. Right here on SkidRowStudios.com.
And it was probably my favorite show.
Thank you.
And Skid Row Studios. And as you've been on my show before, I'll say that you actually introduced me to Skid Row Studios. So I was a guest on your show. I was a guest on another show that was here on Saturdays.
Bad Advice.
Mm-hmm. So continue. Yeah. So you had one of the better shows.
There was a number of shows that I was a part of. We hosted, Chris Z and I hosted Registered Ear Offenders. We were also frequent guests on the weekly wrap-up hosted by Ken August. Also frequent guests on Bad Advice hosted by Drew Marks. So we started there. That was a few years ago. And then we left Skid Row Studios because we are idiots. And then we went elsewhere.
And then
my buddy Chris decided, who I continued on the show with, we started another show at RadioTitans.com called It's Funny Because It's True with Sal and Chris. Mm-hmm. After about 10-15 episodes, he moves back to Florida. I was without a show. It was actually my mother's idea, who said, hey, why don't I, you and I do a show together? So right. The credit goes to my mother. It was her idea for us to have an internet radio show together.
Yeah, and he had to think about it and see a psychiatrist before he could even make his decision.
Is that true? No, but I did ask Nestor's advice, I think.
And what did I say?
I remember you and I went out for that, Thai combo. We went out for some
Filipino-Mexican fusion.
Yes, we went to a fusion Mexican restaurant, and I told Nestor, I go, hey, my mother and I are thinking about doing a podcast. What do you think? And I wanted to get his opinion. And everybody, by the way, everybody who I asked about this for their opinion, everybody said, that sounds great. Go for it. Everybody was very encouraging. Yeah.
Well, they didn't want to insult you. What are they going to say? Your mom?
No, I think it's great.
No, everybody thought it was a great idea.
So tell me about your relationship growing up. So Ma, so you said that you...
We have different memories of my relationship.
Of course you do. Of course
like
you do.
Like an old married couple.
Of course you do. But what I want to ask is, so you have siblings. How many siblings do you have?
Well, I officially have two older brothers and two older sisters.
They're all four of them by the Irish dad?
Yes. Yes. But I do say, the reason I say that is because I also have a younger brother from my dad's second marriage in Ohio. But I didn't grow up with him.
I'm talking about your siblings with mom.
In our household, two older brothers, two older sisters.
Okay, so four siblings.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you're the youngest.
Yes.
How was it growing up?
What hand signals you make?
What was that?
That's how many.
Yeah,
how many
15.
I birthed.
20. That's already up to 25 already. Okay.
So, I'm assuming that were all five children living with you, Ma, when Sal was born? Okay. And so what's the age difference between you and your siblings?
Well, the next older brother is 5 years older.
Okay, that's not
then
too
the
bad.
Next older sister is about a year or two older than him. Then the next sister is a year or two older than her. And then the next... oldest brother, a year or two older than her.
Okay.
Yeah, Irish men are like Mexican men. They like to keep you barefoot and pregnant.
Yeah.
My oldest brother is approximately 10 years older than me.
Okay. So it must have been kind of rough with five kids. Five kids is a lot back in the day, right? So you're talking about, I'm going to say, without giving any ages, we're talking about...
Watch it.
Mid to late 60s, Sal was born. That was kind of a rough time.
No, I was not born in the late 60s.
I said mid to late. I'm trying to make it ambiguous.
I was born in the 70s, not the 60s.
Whatever. Mid to late 60s in the 70s, my ass. Okay?
So I was born in the disco era, not
the
70s.
I'm the one who had to open the legs for his head to pop out. I'm telling you, it was the early 70s.
Early 70s. All right. There it is.
And born right here in Los Angeles, right off the 101 freeway at Western Exit, to be exact.
So, hecho en Mexico. All right. Yeah. So you were born in the early 70s. So then if your older brother is 10 years, that means he was born in the early 60s.
Sure.
So between the 60s and the early 70s, that was not an easy time. Not that it is now for a single mom with five kids.
At that time, we had a very loving government.
Right.
We don't have that anymore.
Which meant what?
It means this. If I were in the same circumstance with all the youngins now, I'd be homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Walking around on Main Street.
Right. But back then, you had some public assistance to help you.
The government was really, at that time, it was expected a woman to take care of her own kids.
Mm-hmm.
And she was subsidized for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me, it was not a vacation. It was a well-earned check because it's a hell of a job to do all the washing, all the cooking, all the diaper changing, all the housekeeping, mm-hmm. plus the pets for the kids that they all wanted, all these things, dogs, cats, animals, snakes. It is a hell of a job. It's not a vacation, because if it were, they'd advertise it in magazines. You want a vacation? Go to this house and take care of five brats.
I will say this also, because welfare is such a controversial subject, one thing I want to point the finger at are these men, my dad, my siblings' dads, who took off.
You know,
it's so easy to point the finger at women on welfare with kids. What about these guys who abandon their families? You know what? Fuck them.
Well, this is a male-dominated society. So, you know, you're looking at, you want to blame somebody, you're going to blame the weakest link, right? The weakest apparent link. So you want to blame a woman. When in fact, the woman's probably the strongest of the links, right?
Sure.
Because if I had to take care of five kids by myself, fuck that. I'd be... cashing in my welfare check, not for marijuana, but some crack or some heroin. I'd be like, fuck this, I'm out. Which, by the way, did you read about this guy who stabbed a six-year-old boy?
No.
Somewhere in, I forgot what it was. Not that it matters, but, I mean, some people are not equipped to have kids.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So, all right. So you grew up in an apartment. You said Western and what?
No. I was born off the 101 freeway at Western Exit. But no, we grew up in a house in Pacoima.
So you grew up in a house in Pacoima.
Just to be clear, growing up in a house in Pacoima, is a higher standard of living than living in an apartment in North Hollywood. I don't care what anybody says.
Of course it is. Of course it is. You just have to wear bulletproof vests because the occasional fucking, you know,
top of everything. I had to be two steps ahead of every brat to make sure they didn't fall under a gang influence.
Yeah.
Crips, Bloods, hypodermics on every street corner.
Right. Crips, Bloods, Fried Bean Gang, all sorts of damn gangs you had back then. So, okay.
Taco Locos.
So tell me about this house. So did you own this house or did you rent it or how did that work?
Well, why are you getting so personal?
I'm just curious. I'm just curious. You don't want to answer it. You don't have to.
Let's just say I provided a roof over the heads of my kids because I was tired of being homeless. And I had been homeless twice in my life. And I said, screw this crap. These kids deserve their own bed.
Right. Well, put it this way. The reason I'm getting personal is because I grew up in a two-bedroom apartment and my father and my uncle slept on a pull-out couch, Castro convertible. My grandmother, my sister, and I slept in one room. Okay, that's in the living room that my uncle and my father slept. One of the bedrooms was a closet, a communal closet with dresser drawers and bullshit, as if we, you know, we lived in on Park Avenue and we could afford a walk-in closet, right? So one of those rooms was a closet. The other room was my grandmother, my sister, and myself. We slept on bunk beds, right? So, you know, I didn't have my own room until I was in, you know, my late teens, 19s, you know? So when I can sell fucking packets of whatever the hell, so I can, you know, whatever. And so that's why I'm asking, because I think that's admirable that however you got it, it doesn't matter, that you had a house for your kids. You know what I mean? I think that's awesome.
It beat homeless.
Damn right. So how was your relationship, though? How was your relationship
How was our relationship growing up?
Yeah, growing up. Were you mom's favorite since you were the youngest?
No, I've never felt like mom's favorite, but I definitely do believe that I was sort of a mama's boy when I was little.
Okay, so you definitely loved and admired your mom than your siblings?
In fact, at one time, my favorite actress was Elizabeth Taylor because it was my mother's favorite actress.
Okay, cool. That makes sense. I mean, that's a good choice.
So I was a mama's boy until probably about the age of maybe probably my teens. I probably hit my teens and then woke up.
Then he got the influence of some ghetto kids.
So probably about the age of 35 then. That's basically, that's your teens.
I'm still 20.
How do you feel about your other siblings? Have they been, let me not ask that. Let me ask this. So do you feel that Sal has been a successful young man? Are you proud of Sal?
Don't ask these questions,
Mister. I have to ask that.
I don't want
to. He struggles.
I don't want to hear
this. He works hard.
I don't want to hear this.
He will be successful the day that he earns enough money to support his own mom, which many movie stars are able to do. Arnold Schwarzenegger bought a house for his mother. Even Dat Fan bought a house for his mother.
Dat Fan, the comedian?
Oh, yes. I adore him.
Dat Fan's my mother's favorite comedian.
Oh, my God,
Ma. One of the three favorite.
Oh, my God. You mean buying? You're not successful until you buy your mother's house. Hold on a second.
That means you have a lot of disposable income.
Hold on a second.
And if we have to measure success, we'll measure it monetarily.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Monetarily, okay?
Do you see why I don't want to talk about this, Nestor?
No, I'm curious.
I don't want to hear my own mother tell me I'm not a success.
Do you feel you're successful?
You know, I don't really use words like success.
Why?
No, I don't. I use words like, am I doing what I want to do?
Yeah.
Am I happy in my daily affairs?
Okay, are you doing what you want to do?
I do. I only do what I want to do. I don't do anything I don't want to do.
Are you happy with what you do?
Yeah, I just want to make more money. I do.
Okay, so what is it that you do?
Well, I host an internet radio show with my mother.
But you don't make money off of that.
No, there's no money in podcasting.
No, unless you're
Mark Maron or
Adam Carolla. It could be, exactly. Okay, so you do that. What else do you do?
I'm a stand-up comedian. I've been overseas a couple of times.
You make some money off of that,
yes,
but you don't support yourself on that.
I've been an MC primarily.
At weddings.
I hosted
señores y señores, viniendo por la calle viene María, que está preñada como cinco veces, pero se está casando otra vez porque tiene cinco niños.
Listen, the way the country is now, he's lucky he can hold his own. If this man was born in the 50s, he would be an utter success because we used to have prosperity in this country at one time.
This is what I'm talking about. This is what I want to hear.
We do not have prosperity anymore for Americans like we used to have it even in my day.
So if I can go into a time machine, I can be quite successful.
Okay, so let me explain something to you.
Yeah, you would have been the next Casey Kasem.
From my point of view, okay, I don't necessarily measure success in terms of monetary value. I don't. Okay?
Well, no, you can have success and peace of mind and spirituality, but let's face it, that doesn't pay the bills. When's the last time you called up an overdue bill with AT&T? Oh,
well, maybe you don't
so
need a telephone.
I'm so relaxed and happy.
Maybe you don't need a telephone.
Would you let me not pay the bill for the next year because I'm so spiritual? Doesn't work.
Listen, if you're very spiritual, you can communicate with your higher self. You don't need AT&T. Secondly, if you're Latino and you're spiritual, you can tap into your neighbor's line. And when they're not talking, you can make a call. If you still have an analog line. Thirdly, Sprint has home-to-homeless minutes. They have cell phone plans for homeless people at a discounted rate, so it doesn't really matter.
I thought you were going to say if you're Latino, you can tap into La Virgen.
You can. But listen, so what I'm getting at about success is that I think you're a very successful young man, Sal. That's what I think. And I think you're very successful, Mom.
In this day and age, none of my kids have ever had to come back to me with their hand
That's
out.
That's successful.
They can take care of themselves, and that is what I'm happy for and grateful for.
Yeah.
They have their own cars.
Yep.
They have their own roof.
Yes.
And they've even traveled the world, which is more than's ever happened to me. I never got to go anywhere but Tijuana.
Right.
All of them have been around the world.
Right. Well, Sal has also, you're also a personal trainer. That's another thing that you do. You forgot to say that.
Well, I don't mention to a lot of people that I'm a personal trainer because I've gained a lot of weight.
So what?
People judge you, Nestor. They look at you. You tell somebody you're a trainer, they look at you up and down is what they do.
Most personal trainers are overweight. That's the whole point. They're like, listen, I can tell you how to bench 50 pounds, but listen, don't worry about me. Just focus on your push-ups, okay? just don't eat carbs. Hey, don't listen to me, okay? Don't look at me. Just look at the plates on the weight machine, okay?
Yeah.
All I want to hear is clang, clang, clang. I don't hear you looking at me, all right?
Don't look at me. Look at me.
Most.
Two things I've had in life in Apple, good advice with bad example.
That's right. That's how Latinos learn. It's like I learned not to smoke by my mom. Mira, Néstor. Don't smoke, okay? Smoke causes lung cancer. If I catch you smoking, I'm going to slap you, okay? That's how you learn as a Latino. Anyway, so...
But hang on. Let me just... If I may...
You may.
Okay. What I've called myself, I've relabeled myself, being who I am in this era, in this segment of my life, this mid-age part of my life, I call myself an activities coach.
Okay, so you're an activities coach.
Okay, when you call yourself an activities coach, you don't have to be ripped.
Okay,
because
that's
you know
fine.
Why I take people out to play tennis. We go out, we throw the basketball around, we play frisbee, we lift weights, sure. Whatever activities, racquetball,
whatever
needs to get done, it gets
done. Dude, you're adept at transferring knowledge of exercise.
And he's certified. Got all that special
and
training.
And he's certified. Plus, I just found out recently that you write columns for the Toluca Times. Tell me about that. How did that happen?
I also am a semi-part-time columnist for the Toluca Times, which is my hometown paper.
Do you get paid for that?
Yes.
You do? How does that work?
How does it work? Well, they pay you by the article.
No, how does it work? You just go in there in the Toluca Times office on Riverside Drive
and
you
say... They rejected me. They put an ad in their newspaper and they'll have a little thing. If you want to write, call this lady. So I called up the lady. She said, no way, Jose.
Really?
She wouldn't let me write for
really? As intelligent as you are. How's that?
Well, she was
a gringa?
You know, a boss, a bitchy. I think she was a bitchy Jew.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
And when she heard the name O'Connor, it was out of
hand. Pick up your motherfucker. Explain it to yourself, you bitchy Jew. Ma's old school. Ma, we were talking about this on the way to the studio. That back then, people talked the way they talked. That's how's it? We had spics. You told me about Filipinos called flips. You know, I'm not going to get into all the other ones, but that's
how
it is.
There's nothing wrong with a nickname.
No.
A nickname.
Well, Jews call it, in New York, Jews call each other Jews. When I talk about Jewish people from New York, you're a New York Jew. And Puerto Ricans and New York Jews... There's really no difference except some of us get circumcised through a machol, which is, I spoke about last week. If you don't know, it's a process of which a machol is a certified rabbi or ordained. Yeah. You know,
and they snip the dick of a poor little hapless
baby. They snip
baby.
It, sure. but in the tradition, they have to suction some of the blood.
Yeah.
To make the ceremony official. But in this Orthodox tradition, the mochel sucks the blood from
yes.
the penis. And,
with his mouth? Sure.
With his mouth.
So the kid's not even a week old and has a blowjob already.
The kid's not a week old and he has a blowjob already. And what's been,
from a man, no less. Right. No wonder so many of them are homosexuals.
By the way, on behalf of the management at Sorry You Met My Mother, we do not endorse circumcision.
Right. Okay. So tell me about Tolucan Times. So
you got to submit writing samples. I used to write previously for Valley Scene Magazine, which is another small independent.
Valley Scene, S-E-E-N.
Yeah.
Is that magazine still in effect?
I believe
effect?
So, yeah. Okay. So I used to write for Valley Scene
How'd
Magazine.
How'd you get into that?
I just submitted to probably an answer to an ad.
It's a good writer.
Was there an ad?
I believe so. So I answered the ad to Valley Scene. I began writing for them. And then the editor blew up at me one night. I think she was on a drunken tirade and literally blew up at me, threw me out of Valley Scene. I took some time off and then I started writing for the Taluk and was accepted to write by, I believe it was Jamie who had me write.
So you responded to an ad at the Taluk
Yeah,
Times.
They had a classified ad where they were looking for writers.
Interesting.
Yes.
How much did they pay you for? I read through.
That's awfully personal.
Yeah.
You should be asking people how much they earn.
That's right.
Okay. Not how much they earn. How much do they? That's
well,
a,
call the newspaper up and find out yourself.
Thanks, Mom.
Wait a minute, yeah. Mom. Wait a minute, Mom.
There's such a thing called manners. You don't ask
Mom,
people how much they
Mom,
earn.
Sal asked 50 million. You ever hear of an Uzi? Sal throws an Uzi worth of questions. He'll ask me questions. Sal, are you uncomfortable answering that question to me on the air?
Yes.
I'm uncomfortable
okay.
with
That's
being
fine.
Asked.
That's fine.
Yeah.
So, because you know why? It fluctuates. Whether it's a smaller article of 350 words or a larger
so
article of 450
words. I'm just curious. Like, if I wanted to do it, what's the range?
$50 to $100.
That's pretty
yep.
good.
Yep.
That's not bad considering it's a free paper.
Yes.
It's a free, that's pretty good.
Yeah, but they sell a lot of ads, though. You know, that's how newspapers make their money is
yeah,
advertising.
Yeah, they sell a lot of ads. I get it.
But that's how anybody makes money is advertising, really.
Of course. But then you got to ask yourself, how many people actually read papers as opposed to
I care? Do.
You do.
Yeah. I read it between movies.
Okay.
I write for the 70-year-old female demographic.
Got it.
That's how I got a part in a stage production called Crazy Love was through the Toluca Times.
Crazy Love is a great documentary, by the way. It's about a Jewish couple. Is that what you're referring to?
No. This was obviously a different kind of production.
Oh,
it had nothing to do with Jewish.
Oh, Crazy Love is an interesting documentary. So look it up. It's about a Jewish couple in the 50s. The guy was, I guess, crazy about his girl. She broke up with him, and he didn't want her to be with anybody else. So he threw acid in her face, cold, fucked up her face. Years later, they wind up reconciling and being married, and they're crazy in love. That's kind of like the short of it. Very interesting documentary. I thought that's what you were talking about.
He threw acid in her face,
yeah,
and
yeah.
then she forgave him later?
I don't remember the specifics.
Well,
like,
nobody else would have her with her new ugly face, so now she was forced to take him on.
Wow.
You can argue that, but yes.
Well,
like
if
that.
He really loved her, he would have thrown acid in his own face afterwards.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Listen, Ma, if I get too personal, you don't have to get, like, rowdy. You just have to say that's too personal, okay?
Okay.
All right, so did you graduate college,
no.
Sal? No.
No.
What's your highest level of education?
Probably ninth grade.
But I just want to, the reason I asked is
you. You went to high school.
That's ninth grade.
Ninth grade.
Yeah. You're a very intelligent guy, okay? And not only that, you are a seeker, you see. I met you through some online contest. You volunteer with Boys Club of America, right? Your brother's.
No, it's not the Boys Club. It's the Big Brothers program of Los Angeles.
I mean, how's that going for you?
It's nice. I have a little brother. His name is Angel. Ironically, his last name is Rodriguez.
Yeah, of course.
He's half Puerto Rican, half Mexican.
Of course.
And he lives in Burbank with his mother.
He's half Puerto Rican, half Mexican, mm-hmm. so he's Dominican.
Okay.
Basically, yeah. All right.
And I meet with him a couple of times a month, and we have excursions. He's my little brother, Angel.
So you're still doing this about 2 or 3 years that you've been doing.
No.
Three.
We just celebrated our 1 year anniversary.
One? That's it?
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Well, because I used to volunteer at the Braille Institute over here in Vermont.
That's another thing you used to volunteer. That's the thing I admire about you. So at the Braille Institute, you go in there and you slap blind people and you read to them.
Yes.
Right.
And then I let their dogs hump my leg.
Yes.
That's
awesome. So how'd you get into volunteering at the Braille Institute?
Well, you know, if you're an actor, I've been in a number of commercials. I'm always trying to get an audition and so forth. So if you're an actor, you realize you're always waiting for a gig. You're always waiting for a job. You're always waiting for a callback. Well, you know what? I got a little spare time on my hands, so why don't I make myself useful? So then I started going down to the Braille Institute and reading to the blind people.
That's smart. That's smart. That's good advice to all you actors and people who want to, you know, be in the creative arts. In the meantime, in between things that you're doing for your career, you could volunteer at some of these places. Just look it up, right?
Well, I personally believe that if you have time on your hands, you need to make yourself useful for the benefit of humanity.
That's successful, dude. That's successful thinking, right? Success doesn't always have to be measured in dollars.
Tell that to my mother, Nestor.
I'm telling you, mom's right here. So, mom, tell me about you. So you had five kids. What kind of background did you have career-wise? Were you always just a stay-at-home mom?
No, well, in my day, most people just got out of high school, married their high school sweetheart, and fell into the family life right away. And that's basically sort of what happened to me. And I really liked being a mother. In fact, if I look back on my life, that was the most contented time. Even though it was very hard with landlords kicking you out because I always would have another brat. And in those days, they didn't allow children to rent mm-hmm. with a parent. So right. I'd always have to lie and say I had no kids. And then I'd sneak
and
one
sneak
in.
Sneak them in.
Sneak them in.
Sneak another
them
one in.
And then they
sneak
would.
Sneak them out, then sneak them in.
That's, yeah. Excuse me, Mr. McGillicuddy. That's not a children. That's a rat. He just walked by you. That's not a children, okay? So go ahead.
But usually, most landlords would forgive me because they'd say, oh, well, your kids are so well-behaved and quiet. Well, I'll let you stay. Mm-hmm. So I usually would get to stay, but then I had, two or three landlords that would kick me out because I had too many kids. But
you enjoyed being a mom.
Motherhood, oh, I loved it.
Motherhood was some of the best times in your life.
Because of the pure love. That's all it was mm-hmm. pure love.
Love it. That's
very
good.
Pure love.
So you felt pure love from your mom?
Yes and no.
No how?
Well, you know, I would only say that I believe my mother would, when I grew up, I think my mother was probably sort of bipolar.
So that means she's Latina.
Yeah.
That's all that means. Bipolar Latina. My mother was Latina too. I mean, bipolar. So what? So what does that mean? She growing up.
Well, it's because it's one of those deals where your mom's not all good. Your mom's not all bad. You know, like these people that have horrible mothers. Well, then you could just say, I hate my mother. But then there are these people that have these wonderful mothers, and they go, I love my mother. Well, my mother wasn't, she wasn't a saint. You know, she did the best she could, and I understand that.
But that's
I mean,
all you got.
There were some hard times.
Well, of course, there were some hard times in my life. Mm-hmm. I could tell you stories. I mean, I've shared some of them in your podcast, getting beat and whatever. Yeah. Which, by the way, your mom is like, did she draw blood? Because if she didn't draw blood, then it wasn't abuse.
Yeah, that's right.
There has to be fluid leaking from your cranium. Otherwise, shut up. That's just the way things are.
If you would have obeyed your mother, you wouldn't have gotten beat.
Which I get. Mm-hmm. I sent you a bunch of articles so that we can discuss, and we're not going to get to maybe two.
I
or
read
two.
All those articles for nothing.
But you learned something, didn't you?
My favorite was the Brazilian village.
Okay, we'll talk. We'll have you on that another time.
I'm out in the cold. What's Brazilian?
Don't worry
village?
About it. There's a village in Brazil that's run by women, and they have a website, and they're looking for men, but the men can only visit for like a week at a time. Then they got to get the fuck out or get a job or do something, and then they come back. It's ran and populated by women, ran by women, and
it's like a mini matriarchy,
right? And there's a long history about a woman who got who had a relationship with a man, had kids, and she was ostracized by the village, so she left and she started her own village. Anyway, this is in Brazil. I want to get back to you, Ma, because we don't have a whole lot of time, and I definitely want to get into you. So you didn't really have any sort of career. Do you volunteer?
A career.
Okay.
How dare you say motherhood isn't a career? No,
Nestor, watch it now.
No. I'm not afraid of you, Mom. I understand it's a career, but I mean that's a double standard because just success is measured in money. So if I was to use your definition as success, you'd make money.
I also had added that there's spiritual contentment, which is successful in and of itself.
Right. But you also said
that seems like you're saying something different than you said earlier. here.
Huh, but you also said that you can't call AT&T and blow spirituality up their ass and have them forgive your bill, right? So that's neither here nor there. I already said that you're a very successful a woman and mother. You are. End of story. So I take it that you were very... were you born in the United States or you were born here?
Okay. I'm 100% American.
100% American. I love her. I'm American. I don't give a shit what you say. I was born here. I don't give a fuck. I'm American. All right, don't worry about what my nationality is. Yeah. Whoop, whoop. Miss, could you give me your driver's license and registration? I'm American. Don't ask me about my driver's license and registration.
You know what? That actually happened to me once. I was stopped and the guy came back and said, oh, I see by the record you're really, and I'm not going to say it, my private personal information, but he said my birth name, and I was shocked that he would come up with that as if that was part of the reason to give me the ticket that I got at that time. Okay. There's only one officer ever did that. It seemed to weigh very importantly in him to come and announce to me that he knew that because it's on the record.
Got it. So, I mean, we were going to talk about racism and stuff like that and all this other crap, but we're not going to get into all that. What I want to get into, so where did you get your education? Like I said earlier before, you're a very intelligent woman, so I'm assuming you read a lot, you taught yourself a lot of stuff, you're very inquisitive.
I got a GED through the Los Angeles Unified School District, and I also went to L.A. Mission College for a couple of semesters.
And yeah, but that none of that matters, and none of that, I can't attribute any of that to... your knowledge and your
that was during the time I was a mother that those two things were accomplished.
But you have a natural thirst for knowledge. You read a lot. You watch. I mean, where do you get your education from?
Well, I got it from the school district and the college, a formal academic. But I've also done a lot of self-education on my own.
Self-education, that college, that's bullshit. What'd you learn there? Arithmetic?
No.
What'd you learn?
In high school,
you didn't learn how to stuff a tamale or nothing like that. Yes. Anything useful in life?
Let me tell you something. It was the high school education that helped me to pass the state examination. Out of 5,000 people, I passed at number 294, high on the list.
Wow.
Because part of that test was, believe it or not, for algebra. It was a very comprehensive 2-hour test. And I didn't know I was a failure in algebra. But when I was doing the algebraic part of that test,
algebraic,
I put myself back into the classroom. I saw the teacher there with the, equals YMC equals 5 and the little... Yeah.
Gay equals YMCA divided by 3.
And I just saw him doing that, and I just somehow magically was able to pick the right answers out. Because I regressed myself back to those days, and I was actually in the classroom.
Yeah, but what did algebra do for you? I mean, what's the purpose of algebra?
Nothing.
Exactly. So.
But it got me past the state examination at a very high score, and I got a job as a result.
Oh, okay. What kind of job?
It's a state examination to become a state worker.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And what did you do? What capacity of a worker did you have in the
state? They misclassified me, as far as I'm concerned, and they put me as a simple office assistant, but range B, which is higher than range A.
Okay. All right. Well, you went to the state level. It doesn't matter all that other stuff to me. You're a very intelligent woman. You can have a conversation with Ma about any subject, and trust me, she will school you on all sorts of shit. So don't worry about all that shit. Drop out of school, use your welfare check, and buy marijuana with it. It's all fucking, all that other stuff is hoopla, all right? Do your own research in life. Get your own education. Learn how to speak. Get your own thirst for knowledge. That's all I'm saying. All right. So let me ask you a question. So we read a couple of articles, Sal and I. One of them was about this photo of parents that put a baby on this really high number one tourist attraction in Norway called Pulpit Rock. So the baby looks like it's on the edge, and you see it's like, wow, thousands of feet dropping, and all of a sudden it becomes this big hoopla, right? Because the parents put the baby on the edge of that. Right?
Oh, like Michael Jackson when he put blanket over the balcony.
Exactly. So my question to you is, as a mother, do you think that that we've become like a pussified nation, like a wuss nation, that you can't do or treat your kids the way you want to? Don't you think that kids, as a mother, you should be able to treat your kids the way you want? You should be able to do what you want with your kids, and no one else should tell you how to raise your kids, what to do with your kids, where you can hang your kid if you want to hang them through a balcony. Danny. I mean, aren't you the mother? Aren't you the one that knows what's right and what's wrong for the kid?
Well, I never did anything that could have been considered a precarious position for any of my children. But I'm aware that certain people have, Michael Jackson being one in this latest scenario you just described. And I say this, as long as the kid came unscathed from that, then it's okay.
Right. Nothing happened. The baby was just there. It wasn't crawling towards the edge. Baby's not stupid. You know what I mean? Anyway, here's the other thing, and then we'll kind of wrap it up real quick. There was a 9-year-old on vacation with her family who accidentally killed the shooting range instructor with an Uzi. Did you read about this shit?
Yeah, I heard about that.
So she's shooting with an Uzi, and first of all, a regular gun has a recoil of like 3 horses. This thing is a automatic weapon, and it just springs and it goes all over the place and kills the instructor. What are your thoughts on that? I mean,
well, first off, I wouldn't allow a 9-year-old to handle a gun.
Mm-hmm. Would you allow a 9-year-old to handle a grenade?
No. In fact, I don't believe in guns at all. Okay. I think guns should be totally obliterated, even by the police force. I don't think they should be manufactured.
Right.
They drove the Winchester woman crazy because of that. I think guns, it's only one. They're just an instrument of death. They are made to kill.
The Winchester woman, what is that?
You know, the Winchester house up north, you've never been there?
No, no.
She was the wife of the guy who invented the Winchester rifle, which is what was the instrument used to conquer the Indians for the most part. Huh. They were the greatest instrument to conquer Indians.
Huh.
And because they had killed so many Indians, the spirits of the dead Indians went to haunt her. They drove her crazy. So she kept on building room after room after room, rooms to nowhere, stairways to nowhere, because she felt unless she keeps building and making rooms for the spirit of all the dead Indians that were as a result of her husband making the gun to kill them, she couldn't have any peace. So that she died building a house, and now it's a famous landmark.
Where
and
is
you
it?
Go see it.
It's San Jose, I believe.
Yeah, somewhere near. Cool. It's a very interesting thing to see.
Cool, I'm going to go check it out. Well, listen, we've run out of time.
No, I think it's Westchester House or Winchester.
No, it's the Winchester Mystery Mansion.
I'm going to go check that out. So many fascinating things to see in California. You know what I mean?
Very haunted. California is one of the most haunted states.
Yeah, but it's a very interesting place. Like the welfare office in North Hollywood, that's a landmark.
That's where I pick up chicks.
Yeah. That's where I get coffee on my way to the fucking diner. Anyway, so we've run out of time. Thank you for joining Nestorius Public Radio, Mom. Thank you for joining Nestorius Public Radio as the co-host of Sorry You Met My Mother.
Well, to be perfectly exact, I am the host of the show. My mother is a star. It's called Sorry You Met My Mother every Friday, 2 p.m. Pacific on RadioTitans.com.
But it can be downloaded on iTunes also.
You know what? We're not on iTunes.
Oh, that's bullshit.
Tell me about it.
Dude.
Yeah.
That's
you
bullshit.
Can find it in the archives on RadioTitans.com.
We need to talk about that. That's bullshit. Anyway, listen, as you know, every Thursday night from 9 to 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and midnight to 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Nestorius Public Radio is live. You can interact with us as an 800 number, and you can watch it live and listen to it live. Do me a favor. Tell all your people, you people out there, Puerto Rico, Miami, you people listen to the show. Tell your friends about it. You know what I mean? Go to iTunes, look up Nestorius Public Radio, look under podcasts, click on Nestorius Public Radio, subscribe to the show, and make sure that you set on the settings on the preferences of iTunes to automatically download new episodes. And that way you can support the show. You support the show, then I don't have to sell blow. You know what I mean? If I don't have to sell blow, that means I don't get arrested. If I don't get arrested, I get to go home and I get to be a productive member of society.
Yeah.
All right? You feel me on that? So see you next time. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Ooh-wee, it's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit.